be as the church. We're under the directives of Christ in Matthew chapter 28, which is known as the Great Commission. In a moment, we're going to read Acts 1:8 as our marching orders as the church. And this morning, we're going to get a chance to hear from our short-term team that went to West Virginia a couple of weeks ago, just to hear all of what God was doing in their lives. We're also going to get a chance to hear from Tim and Gabby Moore this morning and their experiences in Bosnia, just a few questions that we want to throw at them and hear a little bit of a report of what happened in their lives. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome. We're glad you're here. We look forward to worshiping together in the Lord's presence. Let's stand together and let's read this Acts 1:8 verse together. This is instructions to the church, and it's instructions to us as we think about what is our mission as the people of God. Let's read it together in unison. But you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for what you have done in each of our lives, those of us who have put our faith and trust in you, that you've brought about radical changes. It says that when we are in Christ, we're new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come and become a part of our lives. And one of the things that changes is how we look at the world in which we live. That we're not here simply to live life for ourselves, but to live as ambassadors for you. To recognize that you've entrusted to us a treasure, as you said to Timothy in Paul's letter to him, this treasure of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that as we listen today about how you are working in Bosnia, Herzegovina, how you're working in the lives of people from our own church as they've gone to West Virginia, a place not too far away, and all that they've experienced. Lord, we pray that you would continue to do a work in each of our hearts as your people, that we would recognize what you have given to us, and that we, by your Spirit, would become witnesses in our own Stanton, Augusta County, in our own nation, as well as around the world. Bless us with your presence this morning as we worship you together. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing.
Good morning. We're going to start our worship this morning with Above All.
Above all power. All wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasure. All wisdom and all the way. all wonders this world has ever known, of all wealth and treasures of the earth. Crucified, lay behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, thought of me above all. Bounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surround me, never fail, and you won't stop. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could. Faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord, that we can come together, we can worship you, Lord, we can freely sing your praises, Lord, we can shout it out, Lord, we can come to you with our cares, our worries. Lord, you will be our great comforter, you will be there for us whenever we need you, Lord, wherever. Lord, I pray that we would see that, Lord, that we would worship you, Lord, that we would honor you with all that we do. Lord, I pray this morning that we would listen for what you have for all of us, for each one of us, that we would have open ears, open hearts, or that we would just apply to our lives what we learn. It's in your name I pray.
Well, if you were listening to that song, it tells us that wherever God leads us, our trust is that he takes us deeper. And I don't know where God has you in your journey this morning. Maybe you're in the midst of a challenging time, or maybe you're in a great joyous time, but hopefully you have an opportunity for God to teach you something in that circumstance, wherever you may find yourself. We're going to be hearing about teens that went to West Virginia. And found themselves in a very different environment and situation, and I'm sure God taught many of them many things, and you'll get to hear that. Another couple that had an opportunity to go to Bosnia-Herzegovina, a country with which we have a partnership, is Tim and Gabby Moore. So if you want to come up, Tim and Gabby, and grab this mic here. I just want to ask them just a couple of questions. I know it's been a while with COVID and all to get them back. They returned, I believe it was early spring of this year. And so great to have you with us. And I guess one of the first questions was, what was Bosnia like for you last fall? You left last fall, and then it was in the midst of COVID. So tell us a little bit about your experiences in Bosnia.
Well, as it goes with COVID, when we first got there, there actually wasn't a lot different. They had started to relax a lot of rules and such, but as we were there more and more, in about a month or two into it, they became very strict, and it actually became a little bit nuts. We had to wear masks everywhere. If we left the apartment, we were wearing a mask. Didn't matter if we were outside, inside, in our cars. We were supposed to technically be wearing our masks, even in our cars. So that it was an experience in that regard. Having, you know, you leave your house, make sure your mask is pretty much on you because you're going to be putting it on in just a second. But other than COVID-wise, it was a really good experience for me personally. I was a missionary kid all of my life, born and raised on the mission field. So going to, one, a very different country, but two, just being the missionary, not the kid, was a very good experience for me. I enjoyed getting to really get into the aspect of the missions and being a part of the work, being a part of the team. So I know that was good for me.
Yeah, so kind of give an overview of what we did. It was teaching English most of the time, and then a kids club also. And so the English teaching for me was a really good experience because that is what I majored in, cross-cultural adult education with a minor in teaching English. And so it was a really good experience getting to kind of see different, like, one-on-one teaching with some of the students, although due to COVID, a lot of the students were not always showing up. So that was kind of interesting, getting used to a more flexible schedule working with people. Sometimes you would walk all the way down to the office where we would teach, and they would text you and be like, I'm not coming. So that was fun. But another thing, experience for me was Bosnia, most of you may know, just in the late 90s, they were undergoing a war. And so us Americans, we've never known what a war-ridden country is like. And so being able to have such a major eye-opener in like what life is like and seeing the pain that it has caused, but also just some of like the life and how God has worked in that was like really, it was really cool. And so one of the cool places that we were able to go was a child's history, war history museum, and kind of seeing stories from the kids who grew up in that time and significant like little toy figures that they would have and that they would donate to this museum to put on display with a little meaning of why this toy or a card meant something to them. So that was really eye-opening for me.
Did you get to, you got to know some kids your age, right? Mm-hmm. You got to interact. Tell us a little bit about that, some of the students maybe that you got to know. I know you were limited on how mm-hmm. you could get together, but you got to know some, correct?
We had a very little amount of interaction with people our age. There was, before we got there, there was a young adult group that met, but because of COVID and because of a few people who end up having to leave, the group kind of disbanded for a while. We had a handful of meetings with them, but very few, which was a little sad, but it was the good the times we did get to have with them. For the most part, it was us interacting with people who were probably 10 to 20 years older than us. But we did have some good times with people our age.
Why don't you give us just a couple of maybe a lesson or two that maybe you felt God taught you while you were there? Just anything on the radar as far as things personally, either in terms of mission or your own personal life, maybe to share from that.
Yeah, I'll let you start on that one.
Yeah, so something that was a huge lesson for me was staying, not quiet, quiet's not the right word that I want to use, being inactive, because there was a lot of downtime due to the whole situation over there. And that left me feeling like, I'm not good enough for this. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not out here reaching 50 people and going out and having deep conversations with people. And that was, at the beginning, really tough for me, especially because I just came out of schooling where it was kind of not pushed to be always active, but, you know, they definitely have a mentality of, like, you're going to be out, you're going to be doing stuff all the time, and that was definitely not the case. So God was definitely teaching me that, hey, you don't have to be out meeting 50 people a day to be serving me. You can be meeting one person, two people. Like, that's basically who I was. I was meeting with my Bosnian language learner. Her and I have developed a wonderful friendship that we are even still keeping in touch with today. She's not a believer, but just being able to build that relationship up with her. And then one of my students, I built a really good relationship up with her, and just kind of being able to be that friend with just two people. I had to learn, God had to teach me that I was still being good. I was still worth being here. So that was one of the big lessons for me.
I think one of the biggest lessons for me, kind of similar to the other one, I grew up in a very different culture. So it was a very good change of perspective, getting to see a very, very different culture. Though it was similar in ways, because it, you know, a lot of it was a Muslim culture, which is what I grew up in. But you know, I lived in Africa for many years. You know, moving now being in Europe, it's a completely different environment. You know, living in a city, that was a huge difference. So for me, it was very good learning to see things from a different perspective and learning, you know, to see the different people from a different perspective, seeing that this is, you know, there's changes in every, even though there are similarities, there's differences everywhere.
One last one. Anything in terms of missions? I know we always pray that these are formative times. We're not expecting you unless God revealed to you that you want to go back to somewhere. But, you know, how does this impact your view of missions, you know, as a young couple?
We talked about this a lot. The team is huge. You know, whether or not your team works with you or doesn't, that is a huge, huge impact on your time overseas, is having a good team to gather around you and work with you and meet with you and talk about things and, you know, be there as a supportive hand. That is an incredibly huge thing to have on the mission field. I don't know if you have anything else to add on that one. That was our big one. We still want to go to the mission field. Maybe not Bosnia, but definitely want to go to the mission field.
Super. Well, good. Thanks. That was great. Yeah. Appreciate that. Let's give him a hand. Just a couple of brief announcements. This one. Okay. I can shout loud enough. This week is something that I'm excited about. I'm not even a part of it, but I just get excited to see people get excited about it. It's called World Tour. A lot of us are familiar with Vacation Bible School. A number of years ago, we felt like we wanted to do something around missions for kids. And I'm excited just to see. We have an airplane over in the Fellowship Hall, in case you haven't seen it. It's the CMA Airlines, so you may want to take a peek in there and see that. If you want to go downstairs, you're going to see some great murals on the walls. You know, they have, what is it? Is it Great Commission Travel Agency, Leah? The Acts 1:8 Travel Agency. So it's exciting. Kids this week are going to be exposed to missions, and I'm just excited to see our people giving our kids a taste of the world. You know, the world is on God's heart. That's what we want to do for our kids. So if you're involved with World Tour this week, would you stand? I want to pray for you because this is a very impactful time. So if you're part of the team, would you stand? There's a number of you that are part of it. I know the Fitzgeralds will be speaking this week on Georgia, but they're covering countries that we are connected with. And so would you just bow in prayer with me for them? And Andy, why don't you just pray for them? Would you? Can I just ask you to do that spontaneously? Pray for them as leaders, but also the kids. By the way, we have about six kids from our Y program. We're hosting the YMCA day camp here this month.
downstairs, and six of those kids are coming over to World Tour. So what a great opportunity for kids from our community to be exposed to mission. So Andy, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated. Great. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Pray for it this week. Great impact. In a couple of weeks, we'll get to hear from Nathan and Liesl Fitzgerald, who are here from Green Mountains. They've been here this past year. It's been an interesting year for them with COVID and so forth and some of the things that they've had to experience. But they will be sharing. That'll be Fitzgerald's Sunday. That's the last Sunday of July. We'll be taking a love offering for them. So I want you to give you a heads up on that. We really want to give them a send-off offering as they head back. They probably will be here until September, but we worked out this date, so it's kind of a farewell, but they're still going to be around. So we don't mind if you show up the next Sunday. You don't have to disappear on us. And then lastly, Peak Profile Survey. You'll hear more about this at the end of the service today because this is part of that search, ongoing search committee and what they're doing in terms of trying to get congregational input. You'll hear more about that at the end, so you can hear about that, and I won't take any more time on that. Kids in Praise, I don't think we're doing that, or are we? Kids in Praise, if you're going to Kids in Praise today, why don't you stand and let me pray for you, and then I'll introduce Pastor Colin and the team that went to West Virginia. Father, thank you for our children who are part of Kids in Praise this morning, and those who will teach them. I pray, Lord, that you would make this time meaningful. That they would understand something about the God who loves them, who's provided for them, for their salvation through Christ and the cross. And Father, I pray for the teacher, whoever that may be this morning, that you would empower them, give them great joy as they share this good news with our children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to introduce Pastor Colin. Some of you know him. He joined us at the beginning of COVID. I've been excited about the things that he's been able to do with our student ministry here at Stanton Alliance Church. One of the things that we really are excited about is short-term missions and the opportunity for our kids to experience missions, not necessarily overseas. We were only 3 hours away, 4 hours away. Great opportunities. I hope you'll enjoy hearing from them. So, Pastor Colin.
Good morning. Well, as Bill said, this was missions has always been kind of a big heart of mine. I think I've been on 13 mission trips in my life, a lot of those when I was in high school and in middle school, and so it's definitely something that I've always enjoyed. It was a formative part of my spiritual journey, and I'm happy that we got a chance to do this with you guys. It really was truly an amazing week, and a lot of things worked out that we didn't really know how they were going to work out, and ended up working out, and it was really cool to see that. So I thought, kind of just to start off, just kind of giving you just why we went on this trip and kind of what we generally did as an overview. We went to McDowell County, West Virginia, which is, you can see here, the red part, the very, very bottom county there in West Virginia. It is the most poorest county in West Virginia and continuously ranked as one of the most poorest in the United States. If you look at like all of the major statistics in health, in whatever it might be, this is at the very bottom of every statistic. Out of the 3,142 counties, this is ranked 3,142 in life expectancy, in drug-induced deaths, in obesity rankings, and all of that stuff. This is ranked dead last. So it's a very, very, very poor region, a very rough region, and a region that is just, it's very, just, you know, it's close to here, only 3.5 hours away, same mountain range right here, you know, the Appalachian Mountains, but completely different culture than how we live right here. And I've done a lot of research about this as we were getting ready to go. I met with Buddy Wilkins. Some of you guys know Buddy, and Buddy has a connection there, and he's been there before, and he was telling me a lot about this, and I thought that I was ready for what I would experience there. But being there and being surrounded by just, you know, the old rundown buildings everywhere you go, and just seeing a county that in 1970 had 97,000 people in it, and today has 17,000 people in it, was really, really just eye-opening for me to see that. This is a county that is holding on to the coal industry. Some of you may know they had, this was the coal mining industry was really big here in the early 1950s, 60s, and 70s. If you ever seen the movie October Sky, this movie was filmed there, or it was set there in this region. And that kind of movie gives you an idea of what this county is like, really heavy on coal mining. And if you don't work in the coal mines, then you leave. And once the coal mining industry shut down in the late 70s, people were left without jobs, and people left the county and left the area. And if they didn't leave, they were left without a job. And so unemployment ranks soared, drugs came in, people relied on drugs, and it just became a really impoverished region over the years. It was kind of interesting, in one house that we were at, we'll kind of tell the story later, but one house that we were at during the week, I found a stack of receipts from the 60s that were like coal distribution receipts. And it was really cool to find that still sitting in the house, left untouched for a number of years, which kind of showed that they're still hanging on to what once was in this culture, still hanging on to the glory days of when this was, you know, one of the most popular areas in the United States. But while we were there, we worked with two different ministries. We worked with what was called the Zara House, which was a ministry that operates a safe house for girls who have been victims of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. This is really intensive work, and we'll kind of share more about this in a little bit. We also worked with Young Life, which Young Life has a chapter here in this area, and they have chapters pretty much in almost most areas of the United States. But this area in McDowell County was different because they have a lot of kids there and not a lot of churches and not a lot of ways for them to hear the gospel. Most churches there are little family churches of 15 to 20 people, and for teenagers who don't know the gospel, going there can be really intimidating because it's mostly families. A lot of the preachers are more of your fire and brimstone type preachers there, and they don't have Paul, the Young Life leader, was telling me that even some of these kids who've grown up in these churches there, coming to Young Life was the first time they experienced the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. So we got a chance to partner with them, and I'll share more about that in a little bit. But right now, I'd like to have all of our students kind of come up here, and you guys can stand here. You guys can stand right up here, and I'm going to have them just kind of introduce themselves to you and share what their favorite part about the trip was. And this is separate from what you're sharing later, guys. So your favorite part of the trip.
Okay. My name is Joshua. My favorite part of the trip was probably, was it the Zara House? I think, yeah. That part was pretty fun. I did a lot of painting. That was fun. Got to know people a lot.
Hi, I'm Violet. My favorite part was painting the shed. So it was a Young Life leader's shed. It was fun to paint.
My name's Marissa, and my favorite part was we got to rip paneling off the wall of this kitchen and just, like, demolish it. So that was really fun.
My name's Hope, and one of the favorite things was that everyone was putting paint all over each other. It took probably weeks to peel off, but yeah.
Hi, I'm Morgan. My favorite part, similarly to everyone else, was just learning new construction skills. Mike and Warren Brandon taught us a lot of new things.
Gotta watch that. Hi, my name's Trevor. One of my favorite things was at the end of the week, we passed around notes and a nice thing about each other, and that was a really fun part of the week. I like that.
Hi, I'm Audrey, and my favorite part was demolishing the kitchen.
I'm Mike Van Dyke. Definitely my favorite part of the trip was just seeing the spiritual maturity of our students. I was really impressed with just their willingness to jump in and do whatever was asked of them without complaint, from the dishes and meal cleanup to projects that involved filth and being uncomfortable and getting out of their comfort zone, and they just did it without complaint, and so you parents should be proud.
My name is Sheila Fair, and my favorite part was connecting with the different adults that are leading these ministries, both Young Life and the Zara House, and we did discover that Craig and Jean's daughter, Joy, is connected with Zara House, and so we were kind of surprised to find that out. But also my favorite part was that everyone shared their story, and that was just really special to just hear everyone's heart and to find out where people are and to come around each other and pray, and it was just very meaningful to me.
So you guys can have a seat again, and I'm going to call you back up here in a little bit. So this is the, it's kind of cool how this worked out. This is the house that we stayed in for the week. And I can't show you the outside of the house, because if I showed you the outside of the house, you'd probably be thinking, where did I take your kids to? Because it was pretty run down house, like most of the buildings there. But this was a renovated house, which renovated in this area looks renovated different from here. But it's actually kind of cool how it worked out, because when we were originally planning on staying in two different Airbnbs, one for guys and one for girls, which were close to each other, but it would have made things a little bit challenging. But then I heard from this guy who just bought this lodge. It's just a huge lodge with huge open rooms, and it was very, very expensive, but he was willing to work with us because he found out that we were a mission trip team coming to do mission work, and he was excited about that. He's a Christian guy, and he allowed us to have this house for dirt cheap compared to what he normally charges just random tourist groups who come there for weekends. So it was really cool how that worked out, how we were able to come and all be in the same place, and we are right down the street from where Paul, our Young Life leader, lives, which was really cool because they just opened up this new house, and now he has a place to host mission trip teams when they come. Instead of having to do Airbnbs or random places all over the county, now has a central spot to have teams come, which is really cool to have that. So this is kind of the group photo here. I was going to have that up there when you guys were up here. Sorry about that. But Monday through Wednesday, we worked at the Zara House, which I shared earlier, which was the home. They operate a safe house for girls who have been victims of human trafficking. We actually did not work at the safe house itself. We got a chance to tour it, but when we were there, we worked at the staff house. They bought a house, a couple thousand dollars worth of house, a really old house that was really cheap. They needed it to be renovated. So we brought all of our skills that we learned on HGTV and came and did some renovating. I watched a lot of those shows and thought I knew what I was doing. But we came in and we just help them with different various projects, getting this house ready for their incoming staff that are going to come stay there. At the safe house, they're always going to have one, what they call a staff mom, there on hand to live with the girls, and the rest of the staff are going to live at this house, and we'll kind of rotate back and forth. So on Tuesday morning while we were there, we had a chance to sit down and kind of learn a little bit about trafficking and what that looks like. And it was a really eye-opening experience, because this is something that you hear about on the news, you hear about it from different ministries sometimes, but to just learn about how real this is and how it affects everybody, and I don't remember all the stats, but it was really something that almost all of us know somebody that has been impacted by this somehow, even if we don't realize it. So it was really, really eye-opening to know that. This safe house, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. You won't find it on GPS. You won't find it on the internet. I can't show you any pictures of the house or any of this. Is not the safe house. There's a different house that's on the screen. We weren't allowed to take pictures of it. It's a very private house. That way they want to keep the girls who live there safe. And it's a place for girls who have been kind of taken, have been abused or experienced that. It's a place for them to come and escape, because nobody's going to look in West Virginia, right? So this is they house girls from all over the country. They have a partner organization in Atlanta, Georgia, that is kind of the main organization, and they just planted this house in West Virginia, and they have girls from all over the country that have come to live there. One thing that they did share about with us was that in West Virginia itself, one of the big things is familial trafficking, which a lot of families who are really poor will sell their kids and make money that way. And that was just really, really hard for us to hear and really eye-opening, because you would never think to do that to your own child, but that's a thing that they do there. And so really sad, and really, you know, this was a chance for us to learn about that, but also to make a difference while we were there working that week. So some of the things that we did while we were here, as you heard, some of the girls talk about kitchen paneling. We ripped out, that's the middle picture there. We ripped out a bunch of old kitchen paneling and then replaced it with beautiful new paneling and painted the walls so it looked really nice. We also did a lot of painting. You can see here, Andrew is in the middle there painting, and Amelia. We had a lot of students that were on the trip that were not here this morning. We had 22 total people go. But we did a lot of painting. The walls were in really bad shape, so we had to prime them first, and then we got a chance to paint all the walls. But we learned a lot of new construction skills, which is really cool. One of the bigger projects that we had to do was rip out an old tub. They had a tub that was just really not in good shape, and we had to rip it out and install a new tub and install a new drywall that they were not planning to do, but discovered that it was all moldy on the inside of it, and you couldn't just install that over mold, or install a tub over mold, so we had to rip out all the old drywall and put in new drywall and then put in a new tub. And Ward Warren and Brandon Fair, who are not here this morning, they were kind of our point people on that job, and the Lord knew what he was doing when he signed them up, because they knew what they were doing, and they were the exact people that we needed on this job to get that done. So it was really cool to have them there and do that. We were able to complete almost everything that we set out to do, which was really cool. We had 22 people that went, and we were able to complete almost everything, and they even had more projects for us to do, and they were really blessed and thankful for the work that we did while we were there. We also, other than painting and demolishing the kitchen, putting up new paneling, we also worked on building a pallet fence outside, and some of the boys stacked some firewood and cut some firewood there, and we were able to do that for them. But here's just some more pictures of the work there at the house. So on Tuesday and Thursday, while we were there, we worked with Young Life. And as I mentioned earlier, Young Life is a really important ministry there, because there's not a whole lot of other places for kids to hear about Jesus. I think one of the stats is that 46% of the kids in McDowell County do not live with either mom or dad, any biological parent. they live with grandma or aunt or uncle because their mom or their dad has passed away, or they're in jail, or they're unable to take care of them. So it's a really sad statistic. And a lot of these kids really have rough family backgrounds. And so Young Life is really, really important there. And Paul actually, who's the Young Life leader there, shared a story with us, many stories, but one story particularly that I'll share with you is a kid whose parents were kind of using him as a drug mule, and they were using him to sell drugs to their family members once he got his license. And so just a really sad thing to hear about this. And this young boy actually came to Young Life and discovered the gospel, heard the gospel, and is now changing his life around and becoming a student leader in the Young Life program, which is really, really cool to hear that story. In many ways that God is working through that ministry. So we worked in three different houses while we were there. Each house was a different Young Life leader's house. And these are leaders who have, they're not paid leaders. They're volunteering their time and their efforts to host gatherings, Young Life gatherings at their house. And so we split up into three different groups. One group, which was the group that I was with, and we worked at a house in the town of Yeager, West Virginia, and we stained a deck and we cleaned out a basement. And I'll share more about that in a little bit. We also had another group that worked at a different house that built a porch and did some more painting and gardening. And I was not able to get the picture on time, Sheila, from your house, but we also had worked on one more house, so three different houses total, and the other house we did some more painting and some more landscaping there. So like as Mike said, these kids worked very, very hard, not kids, students, young adults, worked very, very hard throughout the week, never complained, never, just never had a bad attitude at all. We're willing to work hard and do whatever was asked of them, and that was really, really cool to hear and to see. So what I would like to do is to have, I've asked several of our folks here to share. Some of them volunteered, some of them I volunteered them. But I've asked several of them to share. So I'm going to have everybody come back up here, and then those of you who have shared, you guys can share. But everybody can come back up. So I have Mike, why don't you go first here.
All right, so Colin asked me to speak on the car trouble that we had. Even though we did have some vehicle trouble, God was in that and just really just making things easy for us, much easier than they could have been. On the way down there, on the church van, we had some smoke from the brakes about, we were almost to our destination. We were at the McDonald's that we had planned to stop at, so there's brake smoke in the cab. And so first thing is we're trying to figure out what that is. God sends road mechanics, Christian road mechanics, who were just happened to be across the street, saw what was going on, that we were doing something with the van, came over with their tools, helped us diagnose what it was, a caliper locking up. And so ate lunch. The calipers that we needed were in stock at Advance, a quarter mile down the road. So we were able to still drive the van another 20 or 30 minutes to our destination without the calipers locking up. So just being able to get there and not have to do it in the McDonald's parking lot was a blessing. But the house that we stayed in, the living quarters were above a two-story shop, which was another huge blessing that we didn't have to work outside that night in the rain or in the dark. Even though there was a two-story size shop under this place, there was only a small garage door to get in. So with a couple people standing on the front bumper and six people standing on the back bumper, and we had to take part of the garage door apart, we squeaked it in. So it was like, we just, in those little things, we could see God working. So we get it in. And we start at like 9 o'clock at night after worship. And Brandon and Ward and I, between all of us, we either had the, you know, the knowledge or the tools. Brandon and Ward, you know, they brought tool sets and they were problem solvers and they had the knowledge and I've got a pulse. And so we finished up at like midnight, got it on the road and had no issues with it. But coming back, we were driving Pastor Page's truck, and throughout the week, the battery light kept flickering, but the voltmeter showed fine. So I thought, well, the alternator's probably fine. But coming back about halfway, I think we just passed Withville. We are in the left lane, passing a semi, and there's this high-pitched grinding noise coming from under the hood. And all of the gauges and all of the lights just go dead. And but the motor didn't die. So we passed the semi, and God provided an exit right there. We pull off, diagnose it. It was the alternator, and I knew that because that's what Ward said it was. So the alternator is on top of the motor. I mean, it was like four bolts. Never changed an alternator so easy. So take the belt loose, four bolts. The van headed with the students headed on back to the church. Sheila and Amy peeled back, rescued us. We gave them the alternator. They went to Withville. Of course it was in stock. They came right back. We put it on and we're on down the road. And the whole time, you know, Ward and I are just thinking about and talking about, you know, while we're waiting on the alternator to come back, talking about just how much worse this could be and how God just kind of makes, as Paul says, he makes our afflictions light and momentary. And so even in the problems, you know, in the issues that came up, we could see God working and taking care of us. So we were just very thankful for that.
You know, there's a lot of warfare when you're doing what God wants you to do. And you know, we experienced that this week, but we also experienced the power of God and his sovereignty and everything. I think one thing that you didn't mention, Mike, was that when they were doing that, they needed one specific tool in order to get it unlocked. And Brandon Fair had it in his tool set that he thought about taking it out a couple days before and figured he'd leave it in just in case he ever needed it. And they ended up needing that one exact little tool. So kind of cool how that worked out. I think it's Audrey.
So my dad has gone on a lot of mission trips, and so we went on a lot of mission trips when we were younger, but I never understood what it was, like, what we were doing, because I was too young to actually work there, and so I never got a chance to share my testimony or work with, like, tools. He didn't trust me with much. If you know me well enough, you know that I'm a very emotional person, and I get very scared when I have to share what I have been doing or who I am, like, on the inside. And so I got really scared when it was my turn to share my testimony, and my friends just came around, and it was so nice to have that. And I learned that it wasn't as scary as I thought it was to share who I am. And it mattered a lot to people. So that was what I learned.
So what I wanted to talk about during my experience on this mission trip was similarly to what Mike said, was the way that I saw God's plan working throughout the whole trip, and not necessarily in the small things that we experienced personally, but in the entire ministry that we saw there. One of the really fun things that we got to do, our little break from constant construction work, was going to this river. We went swimming, and then as this area in West Virginia is well known for, we went ATV riding. So we took turns and got filthy with mud and wet, and it was great. And while I went, I got to sit in the front because I'm the oldest. So I sat up front with Paul, the Young Life leader, and we were chatting about our experiences with Young Life and the public school systems. And one thing that had really struck me about something he had mentioned that I wanted to ask him about was the fact that the Young Life there goes into the schools and they're a part of sports. They coach sports. They go in and sit down and have lunch with the kids. They play games with them, which I thought was just incredible because in an area like here with the public schools, that would not happen. You could, like an adult trying to come in and just sit down with teenagers and share the gospel with them would not be allowed where I go to school. So seeing something like that, God opening the door was just incredible. Paul sat down and talked to us on one of the later mornings in the week, and he said that, yes, this is a crazy impoverished area, and there's a lot of really terrible things that happen to these kids, but God works through that, and one of the benefits is that Young Life is what there is to do there. They're the people that love these kids, they're the people that provide opportunities. They were taking the kids on trips to Philadelphia and Virginia Beach and stuff like that. So simply being there and being the only thing available immediately allowed so many kids to get that experience and to want to go and experience Young Life, which opened doors into so many hearts that would not immediately happen here like that. So that was one way that I really saw God's plan during this weekend. And another way was how Sheila mentioned we all took turns to share our testimonies. And it was a super good experience. It was eye-opening. We were able to talk with each other and learn more about each other and see how God had worked through all of our lives between the adults and the students. There were a wide range of people and experiences that had happened, but we were all able to grow closer through it. And I was able to see how God worked in every single one of us to bring us on that trip, so we were able to do what we were able to do.
I'm going to share about what my group did on Thursday and Friday. So we were split into three groups, and my group went, and we were going to the place where they were going to hold Young Life instead of having to meet at, like, an Airbnb or something like that. So this was the basement. And so we go in, and it's just overwhelming cat pee and fur, like, everywhere. Like, it's this giant room, and it's just, like, overwhelming. So we all get our masks on, and then he's like, there's actually a room where some of you can work. So, and he's like, you've got to rip this wood off the wall and, like, this paneling. And so we go and rip it off, and it's just like 3 years worth of, like, dirt and dust and junk, and, like, it was disgusting. Like, it was nasty. And so it was me and Trevor and Keegan and Colin, and we go in there and we work for hours just shoveling out, like, garbage bags full of, like, dirt and just junk. And, like, we found, like, this baby doll and, like, rats, and it was just, like, disgusting. And so there was this, we were working in this main room, and there was just all this, like, old refrigerator stuff and, like, this, just these random things. It was disgusting. And so he's like, there's actually, like, two more little other rooms. And so we go, and there's, like, water dripping down, and it was just, it was disgusting, but it was really nice to see in the other room, in the, like, the main room where he walked in, Amy and Amelia and Hope were, like, painting and cleaning their walls, and we're just dragging out these, like, garbage bags full of just, like, junk, and we've got masks on, we're, like, covered in dirt. And it was just really cool to see how, even though we were doing that, we were all having a lot of fun. Like, we were just, like, vibing with it and going with it, and then we also had to go out and paint a fence, so we had, like, dirt, and then we added, like, stain all over us, and we go back to the house, and the other two groups are like, we had so much fun, like, it was really relaxing, and we're like, don't talk to us, like, we're disgusting, and it was just so nice to see the strength that God gave us through that, and then we went back the next day, and we painted this whole thing of
cabinets. Like, we just did tons of work, and we were always busy, but we were, like, always having fun. And it was just so cool to see how God was working in our hearts, to see just the changes that we made. And it was awesome to see how the people that were living upstairs, that they were like, this looks awesome. Like, this is going to be a great place for Young Life. And it was just so cool to see how the work that we did was really going to impact in the years to come the Young Life groups that would come there. And they could build a stronger relationship because they could have a place to meet without, like, having any other complications with it. So that was really cool to see.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the Young Life house that I went to. So when we were, me and Colby were the ones that were doing the little garden area thing, so we dug out all of the grass that was on top, because it was completely grass. There was no previous garden at all. And we were hitting a lot of rocks getting that up. And then the first hole we were trying to dig to plant one of the plants, we just hit, like, a huge boulder. There was, like, no way to get through it. So we were, like, chiseling in the rocks trying to get it out. And I was like, all right, I was pretty bad. This is, there's no more rocks in this. We tried to do it. And throughout the next holes, there was still rocks, but they were small. So we hit no more rocks, and I was able to get through all that. And we had to mulch all of it, and we used the every last bit of mulch perfectly, and it filled it out just right. And that project, we were able to get everything done just in the perfect amount of time, and we used all the supplies, and it was just really great. All right, so for me, it was a great week. It really it impacted me, like, how Pastor Cole, Pastor Cole talked about it earlier. Like, it was, like, how poor the place is. And we talked about it before we went on the trip. Like it's one of the poorest counties in the country. But, like, you get there, and it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's broken down houses and everything like that. And it was really sobering to see that. And I think something I can take away from that, something that taught me, is we didn't really share the word with other people around there, but we helped people who could share the word better equipped them to share it. So it was really nice.
Well, let's give these students a round of applause. Takes a lot of courage to get up and do that. So I just want to speak a little bit to what Marissa was kind of talking about with this basement, kind of a backstory here. This is a Young Life couple that they're probably a middle-aged couple that the husband works in the school as a guidance counselor and a gym teacher. And the wife homeschools her kids, but she also works in some capacity at the school as well. So they're involved in the community. They bought this house in 2017 for dirt cheap. It used to be a grocery store and a gas station, and the people who owned it before then were hoarders, essentially. They the basement was full of junk, like Marissa said. It was just disgusting. It was just, I mean, this. The big room in the basement was about waist high, full of just junk. And in the back room, you couldn't even walk in there because it was so nasty. And so we don't know what happened to these people. They must have passed away, or something happened that when it had sat abandoned for a number of years. And so when this couple bought the house in 2017, all that stuff was still in the basement for some reason. Like, they never cleaned it out and they never did anything with it, which doesn't seem legal to me, but it was all in there. So this couple, they bought the house in 2017. They never touched the basement because it was just disgusting. They never wanted to go down. They never touched it. And so now they're working with Young Life, and they're looking at this basement, and they're saying, oh, this is a big space. And they said, this is a space that we can use for Young Life. And so what we looked at and we saw, this is just garbage. All right, this is just disgusting, you know. But what they looked at it and they saw, this is potential. This is a place that we can use to have kids get to know Jesus. And that was kind of eye-opening for me, because that's what Jesus does for us, right? Jesus looks at us, even though we might think that we're pieces of garbage and filthy, right? Jesus looks at us and says, I see potential in you. I can use you. I can clean you out and use you for my glory, right? And so that was kind of really impactful for me to see that, to hear their perspective on that. And, you know, they didn't complain about how nasty their basement was. They saw, we're going to use this. We're going to make this look nice. And we're going to make a space for students to have to get to know Jesus. And that was really, really impactful for me to take away from that. So I want to read one scripture for you real quick. I know I'm not going to preach, which is hard sometimes, but Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This is Paul's prayer. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So something about this passage, looking at this, and there's Paul uses the word power three times in this passage. And each time is kind of a different sort of power. The first time mentions it is in verse 16, that talking about Spirit-filled power in your inner being. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And we saw that sort of power throughout the week in our students. I saw that as they were away from their family and their friends and their attachments back home, we didn't have any phone service or Wi-Fi that worked, right? We were away from everything back home and had to be completely focused on the work there. And I saw the Holy Spirit moving and working in all of our students and all of their lives and what they shared and what they experienced. And it was really cool for me to see the Holy Spirit moving in each person and see how they were growing and walking in the Lord. And the second thing that Paul says is corporate power. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We talked a lot about the testimonies and sharing our testimonies. And each night we had a time of testimony. We had morning and night. We had a time of testimonies and worship. And each student and adult shared their story and shared how God was working in their lives. And as Audrey mentioned, that was kind of a hard thing for some of our students to do. It was not something a lot of us have done before. And all of these students shared and did a phenomenal job with that. And I personally saw the Holy Spirit moving through each person as they shared. And as each person shared their story and as we worshiped together, we experienced the corporate power of the Holy Spirit as we grew together and as each person shared and encouraged one another in how God was working in their life. And that was really, really powerful to see that. And the last thing that he says here is, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power is at work within us. Think about unexpected power, power that we didn't know that we could have, right, from God. And I think, you know, sharing your testimony is a hard thing. And a lot of these students shared things they didn't even know they were going to share. But the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts to share that. And those things that they shared encouraged others in the faith. You know, we had a lot of projects that we were doing that were really intensive projects that on the onset looks like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to install a tub, right? I don't know how to paint. I don't know how to hang drywall, right? I don't know how to do this, right? But the Holy Spirit gave us power more than we could ever ask or imagine to do what needed to be done in the right time, in the right moment, in the right place, and to have the right tools there and the right people in place in order to do everything that we needed to have done. And that was really cool to see how God worked all things together so that we could do what we needed to do for this trip. And it's really cool to experience that. So I just want to say thank you for your support. I know that many of you donated financially. We just a quick announcement here. We'd raised $4,008 from you guys, from the congregation, to go on this trip. So that was a tremendous amount of money for us. It was really, really neat, a really huge blessing. So thank you so much for all of your financial support. Many of you also donated tools and supplies and paintbrushes and other sort of things for us to go. We thank you so much for that. Those supplies went a long way. Really limited trips to the hardware store, even though we did have to go a few times, but thank you for your supplies and donating to us. So thank you also for your prayers. We felt the power of your prayers throughout the week as well, and we thank you for praying for us during the week. I did want to mention here, if you're interested in learning more about the Zara House or about Young Life there in McDowell County, I know Young Life is a nationwide ministry, but it's very unique in this area. And so I encourage you, there's a website there you can go to and look at that. And also the Zara House, you can learn more about that as well. On the Zara House website, they also have merchandise. They have hats and stickers and things that you can buy. And when you buy those things, they support the ministry there. So I encourage you that if you're interested in doing that, you can do that as well. It's a really neat and easy way to support them. They also have a newsletter that you can sign up for if you're interested in that as well. So what I would like to do is just to close in prayer and pray for just for our students and for just the ministries that we are involved with, and then we'll close out the service here. So Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to go to West Virginia. Thank you that you kept us safe. Thank you that you worked in many ways throughout this week and that you superintended everything, Lord, and that we were able to see your power and your might and your glory through this trip. Lord, we lift up just the Zara House and the girls who are staying there, Lord. We pray that for their healing, that they would come to know just their identity and their value in you, that you would help them to heal and discover who they are, and pray for the staff as they minister to them. I pray also for Young Life, Lord, that they would continue to minister to these students, Lord, and that these students would hear your love and your grace and your mercy, and they would discover you in new ways, Lord. Pray for our students as they went, that they were impacted. Pray that you continue to use this trip as a launching point for them and for missions. Lord, we know that even though the mission trip might have ended, the mission certainly has not ended, Lord. And we pray that you would help us continue to live on mission in our lives, in our communities, in our schools. Pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.
You'd please stand with us. I'm going to close our worship today with "O Come to the Altar."
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Yeah. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
You encouraged? Amen? Wasn't that good to hear what God's doing? If you take a seat for just a couple of minutes more before we close out, we are in the midst of a transition, whether you know it or not. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're in a transitional phase. I will be leaving in about a month, retiring and so forth. And so our transition team has been working diligently. And hopefully you understand all of the things that they're doing. If you don't, hopefully this will bring some clarity and a new piece that they want your involvement in. So Brendan will share that with you.
Good morning. My name is Brendan Yoder. I'm part of the search committee. Our purpose will be to make a recommendation of a candidate to the governance board. We are chosen as representatives of the congregation, and as representatives, we've been listening to what you've had to say. We welcome your comments, your questions, any concerns you have on the process. One of the questions we've had is, what's taking so long? If you know the answer, please let me know. I'd love to know it. But we've been working behind the scenes, meeting weekly to satisfy the CMA guidelines. They're just that, they're guidelines. We're not held to them, but there's a lot of wisdom behind what's been put together by the denomination. A lot of success and a lot of failure in selecting new pastors for various congregations has gone into the thought behind these guidelines. We've been providing the profile materials, have been submitted to the district superintendent, and simultaneously while that's been going on, he's been seeking candidates, their resumes, to give to the search committee to go through and begin interviewing. That is our next step, is to receive those resumes, and we'll be waiting on those from the district superintendent. His name is Doug Conley. You can keep him in prayer. After that, we'll begin interviews, and we will, out of those interviews, select a candidate who will then be presented to the congregation, and the governance board will then make the decision, yes or no, on whether that candidate is accepted as lead pastor. If he is, fantastic. There'll be an installation. If he's not, then we'll go back through and select another candidate. Part of the search process is a survey that Pastor Bill spoke of, is to get a better grasp of where we are as a congregation, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. That survey goes live today. You can look for an email in your inbox when you get home. You can work on it over lunch. But you got 2 weeks, but if you could go ahead and get it completed. This survey is anonymous. Please give an honest review of what you think of our congregation, of our church family, of where we're at, what our strengths are. We're a very diverse body. We have diverse views, and we're trying to choose one man to lead us. Outside of Christ, this would be impossible. But with Christ's power, we can have unity in this process. The survey is designed to identify areas in need of development, and simultaneously identify areas that we're very strong in. It is anonymous. It'll look at a number of different elements within the church life. It's online. It'll take you about 30 minutes, and you'll need to do it in one sitting. If you have trouble completing it online, we do hope to have a computer set up in the fellowship hall next week to help you if you're having trouble doing this at home. It will also work well on a smartphone. I looked at it on my smartphone, and I didn't have any issues with formatting or anything like that. There are a number of pages, I think over a dozen. There'll be your typical survey of what do you think about this from 1 to 5, give an answer. There are also comment blocks where you can type in an answer on every single page. Please use those as an opportunity to expand, to let us know what you think, to address these particular areas. The results will be given to the committee, and then we'll use those to help inform our decision on a candidate. Another question we've received as your representatives is, what about Pastor Page? Why aren't we promoting him to the senior pastor position? We are wanting to do this carefully and consideration. Pastor Page has prayed about it. He has submitted his application to the district, and he is one of the candidates. And on the search committee, we would be happy to have him as our pastor, but we want to make sure that we're looking to God's will in this process. And it may be that God has a place for Pastor Page, not at this church, that he can use him somewhere else to a better capacity. And we want to be open to that. We also do not want to just give Pastor Page a rubber stamp and say, here you go, you're the easiest choice. We will interview him along with any other candidates, and we'll place those interviews side by side, and we'll look at them. And if Pastor Page is the recommendation, which he may well be, it will be a heartfelt and a sincere recommendation that's been enveloped in prayer. And that is our prayer, that you would also pray with us, that God would watch over this process, and that we can work together as a body to choose a new leader who will honor God. Please pray for the process. Please pray for the search committee. Please pray for the candidates as they're considering our congregation. And please pray that God's name will be glorified and that his will be done. Pray also for this survey, that it will provide nice, clear answers on where we're at. As part of the search committee's job, we want to listen to you. The search committee members who are here today will be staying after the service a little bit longer in the sanctuary if you want to talk to any of us. If you have any questions, if you have any comments or observations, please come and talk to us. If I could ask the members to stand, I'll introduce them once again. We have Rusty Larimore is our chairman. We've got Buddy Wilkins and Carlene Knuckles. Guy Tudor is also a member. Lena Fairless is with family today, and Megan Hyatt, and then myself, Brendan Yoder. Please come talk to us. We're happy to talk to you. If for any reason you don't feel like you can talk to us, you can, or if you think of something later, you can email one of us, or you can email Tracy in the church office, and she will forward it on to us. Thank you very much.
Why don't you stand? Thanks, Brandon. That was very helpful. I hope you know that God is at work here. Amen? God is at work in our church. Let's continue to trust him. It's exciting. These kind of days energize me more than you know. So again, it was great. Colin, thank you for this presentation. And students, we're proud of you. Really are. Let's give them a hand. I mean, I think... different era, but let me share something with you. We've sent teams over the years that I've been here, 25 years. We sent teams of 35 one year to Thailand. We had an international worker that came to me to see me and said, you know what, I have never had a group of young people work as hard as the people from Stanton Alliance Church. So you folks have proved yourself in the modern day to be just that as well, and we appreciate that so much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your heart for the world, for people. Lord, this last song we sang, we here have heard about the forgiveness of Christ. We've been able to come to that altar and find healing from the brokenness of our own lives. Lord, we think of McDowell County and what these students, Trevor saying, that they've prepared a place where the gospel will be able to be given in an environment that's conducive to those who gather there. And so, Lord, we pray for fruit to come as a result of the efforts that these young people, these students, have done in their week in McDowell County. Thank you for their willingness. Thank you for the families they represent. Lord, thank you for this church, for what you're doing among us as your people. We pray, Lord, that as we go out this week, that we would carry that message of the gospel to people we know. And so, Lord, dismiss us now with your grace, your mercy, and your love. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.